While attending a Methodist conference-wide worship service at which newly graduated seminarians would be ordained, I was stunned at the moment when the graduates were seated in a circle on the chancel of the church and the bishop knelt to wash their feet. It was the most overt form of showing servant love that I had seen in a worship service in a long time. Perhaps you're like me and wonder why we don't do foot washing during our Maundy Thursday services. From time to time, the church has grappled with the possibility of foot washing becoming a sacrament of the church, but it has never taken hold. I personally believe the church doesn't want foot washing to become a sacrament because it's too humiliating to show the public our feet. And it's messy when the dripping water falls from the basins, not to mention the use of towels that touch other people's feet before they dry ours. In Jesus' day, his disciples were even more stunned when their beloved Lord stooped to wash their feet. He was, in effect, doing something that only a slave would do. Bruce Molina's book, The New Testament World, talks about the honor-shame dynamics at work on the scene. In this culture, social status was jealously guarded and easily lost. It determined your very existence. Humiliating yourself like this would be a kind of suicide. To the disciples, Jesus is literally destroying himself by destroying his identity as Lord. And Peter simply cannot let Jesus do that. "You will never wash my feet," he says emphatically. Lords do not crawl around on the floor on their knees, half naked, washing the feet of their followers. That's the hard part, because this Jesus, that's exactly what he does. Deliberately and with full knowledge of what he is doing, he goes through the intimate movements of gently picking up each foot of each disciple, washing the dirt and dust from feet that literally walked everywhere. Cracked, parched, tough, scaly, grimy. He did this because these were the feet of his beloveds. Perhaps after 70 years from the writing of the other three Gospels, when John was writing his Gospel, he wanted to clarify something. There's no real story of the Last Supper in the Gospel of John as we find it in the other Gospels. There is no passing of the bread or passing of the cup. Instead, we come upon the story of Jesus on his knees washing the apostles' feet. Really, quite amazing. Perhaps John realized that after 70 years, the other Gospels had been read. He wanted to give a theology of the Eucharist that revealed the meaning behind the breaking of the bread. He made it into an active ritual of servanthood and solidarity. Peter symbolizes all of us as he protests, "You will never wash my feet." But Jesus answered, "If I do not wash you, you can have nothing in common with me." That is strong language. We all find it hard to receive undeserved love from another. For some reason, it is very humiliating to the ego. We all want to think we have earned any love that we get by our worthiness or attractiveness. So Jesus has to insist on being the servant lover. Thank God Peter surrenders, but it probably takes him the rest of his life to understand. Jesus' words are strong when he says, "You can have nothing in common with me." That's because he is saying, this is the most important thing that you need to get before I leave. Servanthood. Serving others is the kernel of what Christ wanted to be remembered for. And the admonition he wanted his followers to enact after he was gone. Another gospel put it this way. Then the king will say to those on his right, enter, you who are blessed by the Father. Take what's coming to you in this kingdom. It's been ready for you since the world's foundation. And here's why. I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was homeless, and you gave me a room. I was shivering, and you gave me clothes. I was sick, and you stopped to visit. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then those sheep are going to say, Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we ever see you sick or in prison and come to you? Then the king will say, I'm telling the solemn truth. Whenever you did one of these things to someone overlooked and ignored, that was me. You did it to me. Of course, we don't like to think of those other old goats that also get talked about in the 25th chapter of Matthew. They are the ones who passed by the overlooked and ignored and did not lend a hand. The king's words are just as strong to the goats as they were to Peter when Jesus said, "If I do not wash you, you can have nothing in common with me." Before I married and served in the little mission in the Appalachians, says the Venerable Fred Craddock, I moved down to a place on Watts Bar Lake between Chattanooga and Knoxville, a little village. It was the custom in that church at Easter to have a baptismal service. My church immerses. And it held this baptismal service in Watts Bar Lake on Easter evening at sundown. Now out on the sandbar, I, with the other candidates for baptism, moved into the water. And then they moved across to the shore where the little congregation was gathered, singing around a fire and cooking supper. They had constructed little booths for changing clothes with hanging blankets. As the candidates moved from the water, they went in and changed clothes and then went to the fire in the center. And finally, last of all, I went over, said Craddock, changed clothes, and went to the fire myself. Once we were all around the fire, this was the ritual of their tradition. Glenn Hickey, always Glenn, introduced the new people, gave their names, where they lived, and their work. Then the rest of us formed a circle around them while they stayed warm at the fire. The ritual was that each person in the circle then gave his or her name and said this, My name is... And if you ever need somebody to do washing and ironing. My name is, and if you ever need somebody to chop wood. My name is, if you ever need somebody to babysit. My name is, if you ever need somebody to repair your house. My name is, if you ever need somebody to sit with the sick. My name is, and if you ever need a car to go to town. And around the circle they went. Then we ate, And we had a square dance. And then at a time they knew, I didn't know, Percy Miller, with thumbs in his bibbed overalls, would stand up and say, time to go. And everybody went. He lingered behind and with his big shoe kicked sand over the dying fire. At my first experience of the ritual, Craddock says, Percy saw me standing there still, and he looked at me and said, Craddock, folks don't ever get closer than this. Jesus got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. Folks, most people don't get any closer than this either.